Thank you, Neil. I did put up back on the bulletin board the schedule for Beyond Today programs for the month of April, and also a schedule for the Holy Days that will soon be coming up. There could be a change. I listed the combined services that we're going to have, Grand Rapids and Kalamazoo are going to have for the first day and for the Sabbath between the Holy Days. And you're all welcome to join us over there. I did list those as well. And I listed those at the Plainwell Comfort Inn. That may not be, other than the first Holy Day, that may not be where we meet. We're trying to find a place with a hotel that has affordable rooms. And when you're the only show in town like the Comfort is in Plainwell, you can name your price, and that's exactly what they do. So if that changes, I'll be sure to let you know. But we are planning a spring dinner dance like we did last year on the Sabbath evening between the Holy Days, and would hope that all of you who can would join us for that. What I want to talk about today is man's promises compared to God's promises, because there is a difference, a huge difference. Man's promises, how many times have someone promised you something? Someone made a promise to you, they will help you out, they will do whatever, and they made a promise to you. How many times has that happened in your life that someone has promised you something? Making promises is one of the easiest things to do, promising someone that you will do something for them, though in 2014 and now for a while has lost something. Promises don't mean what they used to mean. They're easy to make, but apparently, in a lot of cases, difficult to keep. There was a time when a person's word was their bond. Whatever that person told you, you could take it to the bank. You could count on it no matter what. And if they promised you something, you knew that they were going to deliver. You knew that they were going to come through with whatever that promise may have been. But just like most things in our world, making promises doesn't have the same meaning it had years ago. Giving testimony under oath in a court of law doesn't have the same meaning it did years ago. People don't care. They perjure themselves after swearing that they'll tell the truth. Doesn't have the same meaning it had years ago. Things change. But how many of us parents have made promises to our children and failed to keep them? As a parent, I know I have made promises and then for whatever reason failed to keep them. Our intentions to keep that promise were good. Our intentions were to follow through. But something else took priority. Something else took priority over that promise that we made. So at the end of the day, we as parents failed our children. Wives and husbands make promises all the time to each other. I promise I'll do the dishes. I promise I'll do this. I promise I'll do that. Many of those promises are unkept because something took priority. They didn't follow through. So we failed our spouse. Children make promises to their parents. I'll get better grades next time. I'll take out the trash. I'll make my bed. I'll be in by curfew. I'll do this. I do that. I'll do that. I promise. How many times have those promises that our children made to us failed? Because something else took priority. Something else became more important. Children fail their parents. What about making a promise to a friend or a neighbor? Have you ever done that? I'll be there. You got to move that piano on Sunday? I'll be there. If it's not in the basement or upstairs. And if there's 10 other guys there. But we make promises. Did we keep that promise or did something else take priority? Did we follow through with what we said we were going to do? If we didn't, we failed our friend or we failed our neighbor. Have you ever made an appointment based on somebody's promise? I'll be there to watch your child. I'll be there to watch your animal. I'll do this. I promise I'll be there so you can go keep an appointment, so you can go do this or do that or the other thing. So you make your plans to go do this. You have everything ready and you're watching the clock. That person doesn't show. What do? Now everything changes for you. You made time. You didn't do something else like go to work or something with your child that you had planned to do because everything was set. Your friend failed you. They didn't keep to that promise. Promises made, promises broken. Is it so important that we should honor our promises anyway? Is that important to us? Is it any big deal if we promise somebody something and something more important? And certainly they'll understand something came up. Something just came up and I couldn't make it. Sometimes when a person doesn't keep a promise, it's just that they forgot. And that happens more and more as you get older. You forget. You honestly forget. It can happen to the best of us. At one time, we said a person who did more than one thing, you know, doing two things at once, was a multitasker. But today, that describes all of us. All of us, we're all so busy doing different things, trying to get a number of things done within that 24-hour day. We're all multitasking. We could forget we made that promise. Let's turn to 1 John. 1 John. 1 John in chapter 2. 1 John in chapter 2. Is it important that we keep our promises? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, truly, the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Keeping our word, keeping our promise is very important. It says who we are. It's very important to God. God's love is perfected and completed in us as we keep our word, as we keep those promises. How awful is it when someone keeps that promise to you and they change their mind? Well, I know I promised I could be there Tuesday, but you know, now I can't. I'd be there Thursday. But you don't need them Thursday. You need them when you ask for them to be there. Have we ever done that as a parent? Have we ever done that with our children? We get our children excited. Yeah, we're going to go to the county fair. We're going to do that. We're going to go to the show. We're going to see this particular movie. And the time comes and the day comes, and for whatever reason, we change our mind. I don't feel like doing that today. Look at it. It looks like it could rain. We don't want to be outside. And could rain. And our children are looking up at us and just they can't figure it out. You promised. You promised me you would do that. And now you changed your mind. What effect that has. What about a family outing? Your family's planned that forever. Planned it a year ahead of time. Everyone looking forward to being away together as a family just to bond, to have a special time. Nobody's got to worry about work. Got to worry about the pressures of the day. You just get to be together and everybody's agreed. We're going to be there on that day. I can take these 3 days So you go ahead and you book a cottage. You have to lay down a pretty good deposit for that, but it's worth it. Everybody's going to get together. So you kick out several hundred bucks to get things prepared. And then the day arrives, the day to leave arrives, and everybody's excited. Most of you are there. Then the phone rings. And it's one of the family members who is supposed to be there ready to go. Oh, man, something else came up. I can't go. You know, I promised my boss this or that or the other thing. Well, what about the promise that you made to your family? Something else took priority for that family member that affected every other family member. Threw a wrench into that plan. Really took something out of that plan. All of the time that was put into that preparing. Family was disappointed because something else took priority. How many of us have bought a new house or a new car? When we deal with a salesperson, we hear many promises, don't we? Many promises. They'll promise you anything to get you to sign on that line. Especially if you're buying an older house or a used car. Yeah, that little old lady, yeah, she was 85 and she drove it to church every Sunday. That's the only place she drove it. Never been anywhere else. That car will last you forever. That house, look at that house. New windows. New door. Look at that. Roof's 5 years old. This is just the house you need. I promise you that. Everything's good to go. You buy the car and you make it for a week or two and you start hearing noises and pieces start falling off and wasn't much in the promise that that salesman made you. You buy the house, a little later on, the plumbing starts falling apart. The foundation starts cracking. Oh, the termites, nobody told me about those. Promises that were told to you based on nothing other than selfishness, greed. That's the world we live in. That's man's promises based on if it's convenient, based on if I don't forget, based on if I don't change my mind. They're not based on much. Some people make promises knowing they could never keep them. Hopefully we've not done that. To make a promise to somebody just to get them off our back, just to make them feel good at the moment. We should always think before we answer or promise somebody something. Let's turn to the book of Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. I lost the book of Colossians somewhere. Where did it go? I know it's here somewhere. There it is. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each other. If you're going to promise something, make sure that you've thought about it. Can I deliver on that promise? Can I follow through with that, or is something else going to take priority? Use godly wisdom and make promises that you can keep. Otherwise, we'll find ourselves in the examples that I mentioned, we'll find other priorities. We'll leave people hanging. We'll leave our children disappointed, our spouse disappointed, our friends disappointed, as they disappoint us. through their promises. Man's promises. Not much to go on there. Not based on much. Now we'll take a look at God's promises, which are much different, which are something that are real. How could we ever trust a God that didn't keep his promise? If God ever answered our prayer like saying, I don't have time, something took priority, I was going to get to you, but something else took priority over you. The huge difference between man's promises and God's promises, God never fails to keep his promise. Never fails. Without a doubt, you can count on God to come through. He'll never have an excuse for letting us down. He won't forget. He won't deceive us. He won't tell us there's something that isn't there, and he will not change his mind. And God will not make a promise that he can't keep. That's not his nature. That's not his way. Totally different than man's way. Thankfully, that's the way it is. There's an old hymn based on God's promises. It's titled Standing on the Promises. I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, have heard that hymn. I want to read a few words from this hymn so that we can get a better understanding how important it is that God follows through on his promises. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God, basing everything on those promises, putting our faith on those promises, putting everything we have, everything we are on those promises. Our eternal life is on those promises that God made. If he changes his mind, if he forgets, we're in trouble. But God won't do that. So we can stand on that promise. Let's turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter 1 and in verse 3. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Through God's promises, we can escape what the world has to offer. We can escape the deception that Satan's brought upon the world. We can escape captivity that the world is held under because of Satan's lies and his deception. Are you and I standing on God's promises? Do we take those promises seriously? Do we know that without a doubt God is going to deliver? That we don't even have to give a thought to God not coming through for us. We know that eternal life is there. We know that our sins have been forgiven and forgotten. We know that there's a future for us. We know God's goal is to have each one of us become a member of his family. That's what Scripture tells us. He promises to do everything he can to help us reach that goal. He will never leave nor forsake us. We won't be by ourselves. He will be there with us to help us achieve that. But to achieve that goal, we must remove ourselves from sins. We must give God our full attention and our full focus. We have to remove ourselves from what goes on in the world. We can't and should not lust after anything this world has to offer. There's nothing out there that we should want. God provides us with a living, with material things, with a house, car, job, furniture, whatever, all the things that we need, God provides. He may not provide all we want, but He'll certainly provide all we want or all we need. Lusting or coveting is breaking the 10th commandment. Wanting what the world has, putting that above anything that God has for us. God operates on a different level than man does. And man continually is trying to bring God down to our level. Maybe they do that so we don't look so bad. I don't know. I was really disappointed the other day, and some of you may have seen this on the news. The president and his wife had singers, had entertainment at the White House, and most of them were soul singers, blues singers. And there were some older singers like Aretha Franklin. Then there were some new ones. And there was this young lady, and I'm not sure who she was, but she got up to the microphone, and the president and his wife were sitting there. And she looked at him and said, Mr. Obama and Mrs. Obama, what's up? And I thought, Mike, does she know she just greeted the President of the United States? And saying that, I was embarrassed. Because I thought, how far have we gone down? That's how a young person greets the President of the United States. It's amazing. But that's who we are. That's society. Bring people down to our level. We're all equal. Isn't that what our government's trying to do? Like so many of the world governments, put everybody on the same plane. But I was embarrassed with that. And then I thought, you know what? The world does the same thing to God. Not giving God credit for who He is, not worshiping Him, not glorifying Him, but just nothing. Nothing. Basically ignoring Him. And we have a couple of movies out now dealing with religion. We've got The Son of God, and we've got Noah, you know, and these are, we'll see how they do at the box office. We'll see if there's any interest in God. Hopefully there will be. But we can't bring God down to our level. Isaiah 55, if you turn there with me. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. A very familiar scripture. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Thank God. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are far above ours. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. God doesn't do things the way we do. God doesn't make promises the way man makes promises. No matter what mankind thinks, God's thoughts are far above ours. God's ways are far above ours. And that's the way it's always going to be. Standing on God's promises, living by every word, will bring us a reward that we can only imagine today. That we can think about, that we can meditate on, we can pray about, we can talk about. Being in the kingdom of God, that's the promise that God's going to fulfill and come through with. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and in verse 12. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. A promise that we know that God's going to deliver on. Receiving the crown of life, receiving that promise. great and precious promises that God makes to all mankind. Those promises are to everybody that will obey God, keep His laws, keep His commandments and His statutes, and honor Him to receive those promises. The second verse of that song, Standing on the Promises, says, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. We can't fail. If we stay focused on God, if we worship God in the way that He desires to be worshiped, and do what God has given us to do, how could we fail? God's promise isn't going to fail. And the only way we could fail is if we did it. If we told God, I don't want your promise, don't care for it, don't need it, see ya. But God's not going to take that promise away. He's not going to change His mind or forget us if we don't forget Him. James 2 and in verse 5. Says, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith? That's what's important, rich in faith. And heirs of the kingdom which He promised to those who love Him. There's no doubt when we read these scriptures what God has promised us. We don't have to put a lot of thought into it. God has promised us eternal life in His kingdom. God has promised us grace. God gave the life of His only Son so that you and I could have the opportunity to enter His kingdom and live with our Creator for eternity. God promises that. He gives us that. The world we live in, you and I today, the world we live in has turned its back on the one true God, the one true being that keeps His word and keeps His promises. The world has turned His back, their back on Him. God will never forget what He's promised to you and to me. He will never forget that. His love is too great for that to ever happen. And we've seen, on the other hand, we as human beings can and do forget the promises we've made to God. What promises have we made to God? Did we keep those promises? Are we still keeping them today? When we were counseling for baptism and we were repentant of our sins, we promised God something. Are we keeping that promise? Or did we change our mind? Or did we forget? God hasn't forgotten. Think for a minute of what would happen to mankind if God forgot what He's promised to do for us. He promised to send His only Son back to this earth as a human being to die for you and I in our place because of our sins. He did that for us. By His grace, He did that. Because of His love for us, He did that. What if He didn't? What if He didn't? How things would be different. God promised to give us a land flowing with milk and honey. He promised to give us eternal life in His kingdom. If God forgot any one of those promises, all of mankind would be doomed for a lasting physical death. There would be no eternal life. There would be no reward. There would be no living in the kingdom of God for eternity. It wouldn't be there. Let's turn back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 31. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 31, it says, "For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore to them." He promised to them, God will not forget. He will deliver on that promise. If God forgot one of these promises, we would certainly be in a lot of trouble. But God's promise of grace, of forgiveness, of love, goes way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Continues on down with you and I today. Along with grace, God promises us truth. Where else are we going to get the truth? John 17:17. What does Jesus Christ say? God's word is truth. That's what's real. That's what God's promises are based on, his truth. God sets the standard of what is right or wrong. No other spirit or human being has the power to do that. God only. No one can change that. God lives by truth and expects his human creation to do the same. Follow that example. Follow that example of Jesus Christ being truthful. Satan the devil made the choice to live his life contrary to God's truth. We all can make those same choices. We could walk out of here right now. Nobody's stopping us. Doors open. We can leave anytime we want to leave. We have that choice. But we can read by example to see that that choice doesn't work out too well. We know the choices we have to make. Jesus Christ said in John 8:44 that Satan is a liar and the father of it. Satan can make many promises and deliver on none. Hebrews 13:8. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Very familiar scripture. No change. Not going to keep a promise today and then tomorrow change his mind and say, well, you know, things have changed, things are different, I've got different priorities. That's not God. That's not Jesus Christ. Not going to happen. Titus chapter 1, if you turn there, Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 and in verse 1. Titus 1 and in verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which is according to godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. God promises, and he'll give those promises to us. He cannot lie. That's what Scripture tells us. Standing on the promises of God, an old hymn, been around for a long time, God has the power to make his promises a reality. He alone can do that. When Abraham and Sarah were told that Sarah would give birth to a child, she laughed. At my age, you got to be kidding me. That's how humans think. Can't happen. Impossible. But that was a promise from God that Abraham would have an heir. She believed she was too old to have a child. She didn't have the faith in that promise that God had made. Let's go back there, Genesis 18. Genesis 18. Genesis 18 and in verse 13. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? And I love this here. And we have to make sure that we understand this, and this really computes in our brain. The same question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's what he said. Is anything too hard for me? Sarah didn't have that faith. At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Coming through with that promise. But God wanted to know. You think there's anything too hard for me to do? There's not. Nothing is too hard. Turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah 32 and in verse 27. Said in verse 26, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything you think I can't do? That was his question. Do we have those questions? Do we limit God? Do we think that God can't deliver on the promises he's made to us? God has provided since day one for his people. All God asks is obey me. Obey me. Listen to me. Keep my laws and my statutes. They're good for you. They're the way you should live your life. Exodus 19, if you turn there. Exodus 19. Exodus 19. And in verse 3, Exodus 19 and verse 3, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Obey me. That's what God asked us to do. This is a promise God is still keeping today. God's people are blessed with the knowledge of his soon coming kingdom and our future as the children of God in God's kingdom. We can build our lives on those promises that God's made. No doubt that he will keep them. We've just touched the surface today on this topic of God's promises. There's so many that are so meaningful that affect each one of us. But I hope we've seen the difference between man's promises and God's promises. God will not fail to deliver on his promises. He will never let us down. He will never turn his back on us, never forget us, never let something else take priority over a promise that he's made to us. So it's important that we reflect back, especially this time of year as we prepare for the Passover. What was that promise we made to God? So many years ago, yesterday, whenever it was that we made the commitment to turn our lives around, change as we've repented from our sins, and we made a promise to God. You first. You first in our lives. In my life. That's a promise. Are we keeping that promise as God keeps his promises?